Oh, ready.
Hello?
Good morning, Mr. President.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, I think I got mentally adjusted to this idea over the weekend, Mr. President. Took a long time, though.
Hey, just tell me you're in fine shape, my doctor.
Well, I'm afraid that's the case. I was out with George last night. He promised me he'd find something that would take 2 weeks in a warm climate to cure it, but he hasn't yet.
Well, we'll work on it today and try to wind it up. Have you got any suggestions of who ought to be the man over there?
Well, I've got several, Mr. President.
What do you think?
Well, now, I think the way I'd like you to think about this is whether you want, in the top job over here, to give emphasis to the program side of the Budget Bureau's responsibilities, which is what I think I've been doing, or to give more emphasis to the management and organization side, which I haven't as much as perhaps I should. Now, I would think that if you want to continue to emphasize the program side, I'd strongly suggest another look at Charlie Hitch. I know that he is tentatively committed to go out to the University of California to be vice president under Clark Kerr, but in view of the developments out there, he might be in a mood to change his mind. And I think he'd come pretty close to the top of my list. The principal name I'd propose on that side, on the program side, is Charlie Schultz, who I think would be just superb. He did a magnificent job here, and I'd have complete confidence in his ability to handle it. Now, on the other side, if your thought is to give more stress to the management and organization work, I would think that you might consider whether John Macy is more useful to you in his present job or in this one. I think he might be a very strong director on the management and organization side. Another name in that category that I'd suggest is Don Price, who is the dean of the Graduate School of Public Administration at Harvard and who has been a close consultant to the bureaus for several years. Is very familiar with our work. I'm not sure he'd be available, but he'd be absolutely first class. I think those four names would be my top slate for the job.
Bob says that Hitch is not available. He just got to get out and make some money.
Well, of course, he'll do a little better here than he will in his present job. I think he's about $27,000 now, and this job pays $30,000. It'll help a little bit. I think he's tentatively agreed to go to the University of California, but the situation there is a lot less attractive than it was 6 months ago when he made this commitment. And he might be disposed to change his mind. I don't know. I don't think he needs more money any more than I do either.
We'll explore that today.
Now, Mr. President, could you tell me when you're thinking of making the announcement? Because I want to have a meeting of the top staff here and tell them in advance. And then
I'll let you know plenty of time to do that. I need to talk to Bird, and I don't know how many more down that committee, so I'm maybe the Mills. I talked to Bird on Saturday, and he said he had a very high regard for you. He didn't know you as intimately as he'd like to, but he had great respect for your character and your ability. And I had 20-some-odd of them interviewed, I believe, senators, and all of them said the same thing. And one of them was Williams. Now, I don't know what... He's usually the troublemaker, a politician.
I've had no contact with him at all, Mr. President.
Well, he was interviewed, and he didn't say anything adverse. So I talked to Dirksen last night, and he seemed pleased. I think that with the Williamses and the mean ones, that you ought to say that nothing political in this for you. You just ask to do a job. You can do it best you can. Call them as you see them. There'll be differences with different men and different people and different subjects, but you just try to call them just as your judgment dictates and allow every other man to do the same thing. I think that appeals to them, and I think your record appeals to them, and I don't believe it. I've talked to Paul Douglas, I've talked to Albert Gore, and I haven't told them any of them that I'm going to do this. I've just gone over a list of names with them and always wind up I kind of classifying you and McNamara together, then getting their reaction, and it's always been good. I won't talk to Long very bad. Do you know anything about Russ Long?
About Senator Long?
Yeah.
Well, I've had a little contact with him, Mr. President. We had one negotiation last year on the veterans' pension bill, which came out fairly well. I think he was cooperative, and we got a better pension bill than we would have got if he hadn't offered to help. That's really the only close contact I've had with him.
Well, he can be make or break a good deal, because he's the ranking one.
Sure.
And he'll carry most of your problems. Bird won't do it. Bird is up in years. Doesn't understand them all. Doesn't like to get out and get into debate. And Long will be the one. He does have. He's Long. He likes to participate in the pot sometimes. But he's been getting along pretty well with us, and we've been having pretty good relations. I feel it. He's a pretty progressive fellow, and he's a pretty courageous fellow.
Right.
And I think you two get along with him. I think Wilbur Mills. What's your relation with Wilbur?
Oh, I've gotten along very well with him, Mr. President.
Well,
I've seen a good deal of him, and I think our relations have been very very close and very friendly.
I thought I'd talk to him sometime today or tomorrow. And I just don't want to go any further until I saw this health thing. I'm free now, and I'll go on it with all the fury I can. And I'll call you and give you a report on the results. How much time I'll give it today, I don't know, because of this joint session.
Yes,
but
I
think that you ought to be thinking, every human being you know in the budget and every other place, for to man this shop. That's the first bad thing. You got an assistant secretary in charge of international relations. You got a general counsel. You got a
undersecretary.
Undersecretary for political affairs. That.
Mr. President, have you thought of Joe Barr for that job?
Everybody has, and I've been keeping him, trying to hide him for Larry O'Brien's job.
I think you'd agree that Joe Barr, somebody like Joe Barr, would be the best kind of person.
Joe Barr would be exceptionally good for it, and I'd like to have Joe Barr for it. But I believe it. I believe that he'd just be better for all of the cabinet than for one of the cabinet. That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry's going to leave.
Yes.
And it's going to be a serious weakness there because of the association through the years. And all the congressmen have just learned to call him. And they're going to miss it. And temptation's going to be to say, we're all wrong at the White House because Larry's left.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true with a new man. I think Joe would be better for it. There's a good many have recommended him, though, for this place. It might be we would want to consider him for that after you look at other possibilities.
All right.
But I'd look at, you've got customs commissioner, and you've got a good many things, and we're gonna do away with the customs collectors. So we may want to bring one of our better ones in for that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an exceptional one I'd like to have in Texas, but he's too old.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what they're going to do with him. I've got to take care of him because he's an awfully good man, a very progressive liberal Democrat for years fought for me when everybody else was against me because it's too radical. And now that I'm kind of accepted, I don't want to turn him down. And he's been a custom collector, great friend of the Arbor. His name is Sam Lowe.
Yes, Doug Dillon speaks well of him. He regards him as one of the better collectors.
He's a dandy man. I think he's just too old for this, but we'll have to look at it. Might be, since they abolished him, might be. I know he's a good lawyer. He's a good man. He's an able man. He's a liberal, progressive man. And he doesn't have a blemish on him.
One other thing.
He talks too much.
I see. One other thing I had in mind, Mr. President, this is the 15th. Doug has said that his last day is the 31st. Yeah. This makes it awfully tight. It's going to take me some time to dig out here. I've got an awful lot of things that I've got to dispose of before I pull out here. Do you think there's any chance that Doug could be talked into staying for another 10 days or 2 weeks? This would make a big difference to me. It'd give me a chance to take some time off and do some boning up on the Treasury problems before I actually have to dive in.
I think you couldn't get him to stay 10 minutes. I think he is really upset that he hadn't got a successor before, and he doesn't know it, but unconsciously he's created a lot of the problem by his damn talking leaking to the press. And it just brings stuff down on my head, and I have to wipe it away for a week. But I think you could do this if we could get your name up, get you confirmed. I think you could let Deming run it a good deal and go off and do some studying and not have to report. I believe that the two big things that I think ahead of you, after you get confirmed, is looking over your old friends, your associates in the government, and the folks that we know, and trying to get a Gordon staff and a Johnson staff that would be loyal, wouldn't be leaking around on us on the balance payments, cost us a good deal because they leak. But to find that staff, the other thing is your balance payments thing with McNamara and with Dave Bell and with the Congress and with them, getting along with this new man, and I believe you can get along with him, Connor. And McNamara is just willing to work all night with you. He couldn't be a better friend of yours if he were your own brother.
Yeah, that's very, very reassuring, Mr. President.
So I'll make a pass at it, but I don't much believe. The truth of business is, it's getting pretty close to some kind of a case over there involving Dylan Reed.
Oh, I see.
And he wants to get out before it has nothing to do with it. We want to watch very carefully and be positive that, and I think it. You'll want to give thought to what your rule is. He has had a rule I think is a little bit too strong. I do not think that I can exempt myself from all the oil business, although I told him that every decision would be made by Interior. Yes. But I think if we had a teapot dome, I would be to blame.
Of course.
And I think the Treasury Secretary has Internal Revenue, and he is to blame, although he oughtn't to be messing in individual cases. So Doug told him he wouldn't have anything to do with individual cases. And then on the DuPont case, they sent back to New York and got a lawyer to come back and make a ruling. And he sent for him, Doug did. Then they asked him to testify on him. And he said he wouldn't testify. And they said, well, what do you know about the case? Why did you get a special lawyer? And he said, well, he didn't know anything, and he wouldn't know anything, and he told Kennedy he wouldn't have anything to do with the case, and he didn't know anything about it, didn't want to know anything about it. That upset Gore and some of them. And, their position is that it's not necessary for him to mess with an individual case in order to have responsibility and direction of the Bureau who is handling an individual. So you'll have to give thought to how you want to handle it. There's going to be an investigation of it. And my judgment is Internal Revenue people can carry it all right. I think it, they think it all right. I know nothing about it. I've never discussed it with anybody except the senator.
You have complete confidence in Sheldon Cohen, don't you?
Hey, boy, I think he's one of the ablest we've ever had, one of the best. And this Rogovin or whatever or not, he's a career man, and they say he's real good. And we just think it, the letter perfect, and they don't ever mess with anything that would even give you any cause to. But they say that they're not after anybody in the Internal Revenue Department. This General Counsel of Treasury was here under President Kennedy, and he took the position, I think, that I think Bobby may have added a little to it. I told Ellen he better talk to Bobby. Bobby told Gore that he and President Kennedy agreed that they would have none of this stock, Germana, whatever the name of it,
Christiana
would be eligible for capital gain. And Bobby says that he and the president had that understanding. That's the only way they'd ever go for the bail. Well, when it got through, the Treasury held it wasn't eligible for capital gains.